Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
And a very good evening to you. Welcome to Election Perspective. I'm James Davis. This evening we continue our run-up to the general election. We'll be speaking to the MHKs seeking re-election when the Isle of Man goes to the polls in, what, a month and a half's time. My guest this evening has represented his constituency for nearly 5 years. When he stood in 2006, it was fourth time lucky after three unsuccessful attempts and many years' service to the community, not least as an Onchan Commissioner. Welcome to the programme, Onchan MHK, David Quirk.
Evening, James.
I suppose for a while, it's fair to say you were the nearly man of Manx politics. Great community man, all kinds of things in Onchan, the football club, the brass band to name but two. But you'd always just missed out by seemingly a fraction of a place in the Keys. What do you believe you've offered as a national politician since what? Well, late 2006.
Well, what I've given to the perspective of the government generally is another interest into making sure that the economy is growing, making sure that we can do things. And I took the opportunity and a conscious decision, because people put me in from Onchan, is to make those decisions. They put me in there to get involved in government. They didn't put me in there just to throw stones into the water all the time and make trouble.
So how true have you been to your manifesto?
In your view? Right on the button, to tell you the truth. And some of them are, when I looked back at the manifesto a couple of months ago there, where I actually, there was a prediction, so I must have had a crystal ball, about an economic development unit within the government. And here we go, we've had the transforming of government and Alan Bell now heads that up.
I mean, I suppose it all depends when you said that, because, of course, the scope and structure report came out a few months before the last election and that was one of its proposals.
Oh, I probably would have put the manifesto together before then, James.
What's it been like working in government?
It's been hard. It's harder than I thought it was going to be. It's very challenging. There are great people in there. There are a number of civil servants, and civil servants do get bad publicity all the time, but there are great civil servants in there. And there are a number of chief executives that I'd like to get back involved with if I'm successful after September.
I suppose that all depends on your constituents. What exactly have you achieved for them over the past, 4 years and 10 months, I suppose?
4 years, 10 months. We've achieved, I personally have stimulated the school at Bemahig, so that's going to be a legacy for Onchan itself. It had stalled some time ago there. And if anybody's ever seen it coming out of the ground, I know it's been a bit of an awkward thing to some of the residents, but here we are, we're not far away, 2012. It's going to be up and running, and we'll have great facilities alongside it. Although,
that, so do you take a lot of credit for that, in your view?
Well, I was determined, it was part of my pledges last time, to get this off the drawing board and get it constructed in the ground. Because what it does do, too, is give stimulus to the economy. That's the construction industry itself, and the contractor, which was Aldern Construction, actually have done a good job. They've done a number of good jobs in the island, and we need to keep that workforce going.
What would have happened if you hadn't been elected?
I still would have been putting pressure on them. Probably would have still been a local authority member and made some positive thoughts, because as you get older and wiser, you need to stimulate certain things. Government are there to make the conditions right for things to grow in the ground.
So how much contact have you kept with your constituents between the last election and now?
I meet them quite regularly. As you say, I'm also chairman, you missed that out. I'm chairman of the Pensioners Club up in Onchan, so I have great repartee with them. I'm president of the football club, and there's not a week doesn't go past when the season's on that I'm involved. And we see there was a great influx of young children between 7 to 17 now. We have 120 kids that play football regularly.
I don't think there's any doubt your involvement with the community. In terms of the constituents, though, what are the main issues they're concerned about this time around?
They are concerned about the media hype regarding jobs, employment.
What's that? What's the media hype?
Well, the media hype is good stories never sell. It's probably different from Manx Radio, I'll give you that, and the other radio stations, but the papers themselves always had something a little bit bleaker on the front page. My concern is, at the minute, we do...
We are in trouble, aren't we? We've certainly got times to worry about.
There's a three-quarters of the House, at least three-quarters of the House, are rowing in the same direction to make sure this economy grows, and we need to make that. And when I've talked to people, because I'm a member of the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association too, and I freely joined that on my own account, when we talk to people from other jurisdictions, they're really envious of what the Isle of Man's achieved on the industry itself, the infrastructure we've done. things are out there.
A lot easier in the boom years, of course.
Oh, yes, but we've laid those down. You look at the harbour out here, you look at the reservoirs, all these things that were done by other people, and we've come in on the back of them. Some claim the credit for everything, but what we've done is made sure that the infrastructure for the economy coming forward is there. And my short time in the Department of Industry was, it was great to travel around and look at businesses and get involved with businesses. And the strength of the Isle of Man's economy goes to the niche markets we can actually carve out. We're a very adaptable workforce. The workforce can easily be trained. They get involved all the time. We don't have the troubles and strife that other jurisdictions have.
This time around, of course, we're hearing a lot from numerous candidates about the need for greater accountability. You probably said that yourself in previous times. What have you done to try and achieve that? Because it seems many are jumping on this open and accountable bandwagon, if you like. But how much more open could the government be? You've seen inside now. We've been swamped, don't we?
Yeah.
Commissions of inquiry, select committees, special reports.
There are inquiries, and I'm on one myself, which is to do with the MEA. And that's resolving itself, and that's why probably I can't give you too much information on that, because I'm probably privileged to it.
Is there more scope for government to be more open?
Yes, there
Has
is.
Has it improved in the time you've
been? Well, I've actually, I had a data subject access request, not a data subject access request, but an access request to the Department of Local Government in 2007. It was a hurdle to go through. It was fairly easy enough when you're on track, but I don't know why some of the government departments just don't give the information out. There are critics out there saying that everybody should know everything else, but when you're a member of parliament for the Isle of Man government, you're privileged to information. You have a duty to make sure that that confidential information is kept in confidence.
You put that bid in to the local government department of the day.
Yeah.
It's fair to say you've had a number of private and very public run-ins with John Shimmer, the local government minister at the time, for much of the past 5 years. Why?
Well, I believed at that particular time there were certain issues that weren't being brought out. As an elected member of the House, I wanted to have more information before I was to make a decision on not just hundreds of thousands of pounds, maybe sometimes millions of pounds.
Are you happier now with the cost-effectiveness of recycling, for example, the operation of the Eastern District Amenity Site?
Absolutely disappointed, to tell you the truth.
Well, on both?
My own authority didn't decide to come forward, but that's their choice. That's in their gambit. And only the people of Onchan will, and on the doorsteps, because I've done a lot of canvassing too, they're really disappointed, the local authority.
But they did their study, Onchan commissioners, and said it doesn't add up.
They didn't. Well, all they did was a study to say, and it was its way those questions are framed, is it, would you like somebody else to do it? Would you like it to be put on the rates? Would you like it to be done this way? Obviously, people are not going to want to put costs on themselves.
So you think people are disappointed in Onchan, largely more people are disappointed at the commissioner's decision than aren't?
Yes, and we can back it up in the future, and we will do back it up in the future. But one of the issues, James, is, and it's a simple method, and I don't want to hang too much on the local authorities itself, is that if you can do the same performance, which is to collect the material at the same time as you're doing the refuse collection, and I put that to them and said to them, if you have a split wagon, what we call a split wagon, split burn wagon, 60-40, you can collect the recyclable materials at the same time as you're collecting the waste, therefore halving the costs. So it's one round, one cost.
So are you happier now, though, with the cost effectiveness of recycling than you were when you were elected?
A little bit. I'm not totally there, because I still think when you require the information from some of the local authorities, they're being more stringent than government departments.
You were commissioner for well over a decade. Do you think you've made the leap from thinking about issues on a purely local level to the need to have a more national and indeed international focus?
Yes, I have. It may seem as though I've been concentrating on local issues as well, because the local issues do come to your door. People do ring you. I know a lot of people.
But there are times where you seem more interested still in what's going on at local authority level.
There used to be. I would say that a couple of years ago, from a couple of years ago, I've probably matured a little bit more, got actually involved a little bit more and engaged with government departments. Because I can imagine myself what would have happened to me if I didn't engage with a government department. You have the knowledge, you know what's going on in the island, you know what's coming forward, what's planned, the business plans out there. You can, I'm not saying oil the wheels, but you can make sure they're certainly lubricated to make sure things happen.
So say you get re-elected next month, how would you handle the relationship between central and local government? If you were appointed a member of a department with responsibility for local authority, say, or dare I say it, minister, how would you handle that?
I wouldn't be a minister. But what I'd be looking for local government now is to try and get some bringing together of services. Because we have to look at these. We have to look at costs right across, not only in government, but at local authority level too. And you can do that by combined efforts with local authorities. There may be, we may have to have, and I think it will be in the future, an indication that there may be a number of local authorities which will come together for common services.
Do local authorities need a radical reform, do you think? I mean, the timing, we always hear it's completely wrong. It's always wrong, though, isn't it?
It's a political thing. It's always a time for change.
But have local authorities become a bit useless and toothless now, in some cases?
My personal opinion on the majority of them, yes.
What would you like to see done?
I'd like to see them, because they cry all the time about they're not getting a chance. They never step to the plate. They're always, in my opinion, from what I've seen...
But they never stepped up to the plate, did they, when you were a member for over 10 years?
Well, we were asking at the time. When I was a member...
Still asking.
Well, we had a board that... Well, yes, we had a board that was forthright, that was respected in the community at the time. We got on well with central government. We knew the parameters we were under. But they took advice from us, and we had that conversation with them. We had that consultation with them. And I believe if certain local authorities would have stepped up to the plate some years ago now, we would have been there and have fully functional local authorities.
I mean, Onken streamlined in the last few years, the rural and... urban wards, I think, amalgamated a few years ago. Was that the right move?
It was, because
you've
probably forgotten that I brought the private members bill forward.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the reduction in the number of commissioners, I know you've
taken the credit. Down to seven, from 10 to seven. Well, I did it, James.
There's other people who say they've done the work. Who did do the work?
I did the work.
I mean, some of the difficulties, I know there was an Onken rate rise, 9%, wasn't there, in 2008? I know that's an issue you got involved with. You criticised the authority at the time. Weren't you part of the board, though, that created those problems?
No.
You were a member until 15 months beforehand?
It was some time ago when there was a difference, and there was an amalgamation together, and the local authority, we had consultation with them. At the end of the day, there was a willingness from the board that I'd left after I was elected, because I got discommunicated the second day, and we
what
had.
What do you mean by that?
Well, believe it or not, when you move from one thing to another, say local to national government,
you've just got to move and make the break, have you?
Your ties are cut, and away you go, and you've got to get on with life. And it was certainly an experience to me, and maybe for something for my memoirs in years to come.
Do you work well with Onken commissioners? Do you
Previously.
Get on well with them now?
Now. Not as much. I probably write to them quite...
You do, we've heard that.
I know, I write to them a lot, but at the end of the day, if you want to gather information or communicate with a local authority, what I have learned, you need to do it in writing, and you need to do it to make sure that when somebody tells you, no, you didn't, you can have that piece of paper in your hand, sorry, yes, I did, and this was your answer, and remind them of it.
Another issue you got involved with earlier, actually, in your time, was the future of Onken Stadium. You wanted a velodrome there, didn't you?
I did.
It didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
The commissioners said the business plan, or the majority of the commissioners said the business plan didn't add up.
Well, I was disappointed with that, because at the end of the day, I'd been aware of what was going on at the beginning of the scene. And I wonder where we would have been now for the likes of the sportsmen, but we do carry from the Isle of Man, Cavendish himself, Kenyuk and all those others. I can say, because there was no confidence in it, that there was a person that came from the northwest region, came to Onken. He had free rein to look around the stadium. He came back, and I thought, he's going to say this is a bit poor. This is before all the alterations now. It was some time ago. And he said, no problem. A little bit of money here, we could sort this out, and this could be a northwest facility.
The board said the business plan didn't add up. Do you dispute that?
The business plan that I'd seen earlier on did stack up, and there was an opportunity with support, and that support may have been from government as well, and that's what governments are for, is to support that particular. And we will never know now what would have happened if we were gone away. We can always speculate, but I believe that maybe the decision was wrong.
You, since then, you haven't had support from Onchan commissioners. Granted, it's a new board since then, on plans for a new football ground. You mentioned your association with Onchan. Why do you think that was?
I think there was the old green-eyed monster, to tell you the truth. I was very disappointed in, because I feel that Onchan hasn't got its own home like other clubs have got. It has a destiny now, and believe it or not, this is a first for you. The plans will be in on Friday again for the other side of Blackberry Lane.
So you're going to try again?
Yes.
Try again.
No, we will. I'm almost sure now we'll definitely succeed on this. It'll go through a test again, like it did before.
What's going to differ from last time?
Because we're moving to a different location, only that it's something like 1,000 yards away. And it's above the old boys' pitch. And it'll act as
directly above.
And it'll act as a natural barrier between the two jurisdictions of Onchan and Douglas. And what better to have than each generation that survives to make sure that that particular area is a piece of green grass which is used by the community and all generations in the future.
You're just staying with local authorities. One more point. You want commissioners generally around the Isle of Man to reveal how much money they have in the bank.
I do. And I also want the commissioners although it's a guidance note for them, and it'll be very interesting in the next house because there is a petition of redress that is available to be picked up regarding members declaring their interests. And that applies to officers as well, senior officers. Members of Timbal do it, so I don't see why that local authorities escape this, and they should have a declaration of their interests in the public domain and be available on the web.
Something you've been very vociferous about in the past is residency control. Is it better now than it was? How do we manage immigration?
My concern at the minute is it's the needs of the community. And what worries me a little bit, travelling further on, is that I still have a slight concern about the checks and balances which are done for those individuals who do come or want to reside in the Isle of Man. Now, I would want to see those checks drilled down a little bit more to make sure that those individuals are coming to the Isle of Man to either set up home, set up businesses and whatever, are the right people we want. And to make sure that the individuals, and I have no evidence of this, they don't carry with them criminal records and something that could affect our nation in the Isle of Man, because they're coming to our country.
You mentioned before, at the top of the programme, near the top, of your involvement with the Pensioners Club. Now, I remember at the time there was this planned, I think, charge between 3:30 and 5:30 on weekdays for pensioners to pay half bus fares. You hit out at that. That measure was dropped. You could have the pensioners vote with that one. You've questioned if enough homes are being freed for young people. That could get you votes at the other end of the spectrum. But what actually on those two issues, how did you make a difference?
Well, I made a difference because you can actually lobby straight into the departments and all members can actually do that. And you don't have to come up to Manx Radio and beat your chest all the time. You have to have a repartee with chief executives and civil servants. And civil servants do get a lot of criticism. Some of it is definitely unjust and unfair. But as I say to you, James, those particular issues came about, they were addressed. And that's what a national government can actually do.
Hyperbaric chamber, you supported more funding for that. That's now happened. What next for the Summerland site? Because I know that's not strictly an Onchan, but again, it's something you've been quite vociferous about.
The Brews, which is the back of the site, are definitely an Onchan, and there's a public footpath that runs down through the railway station at the back there.
There is. I mean, could we be sat here, if you're re-elected and I'm still here, in 5 years' time talking about this derelict site?
I was disappointed, really. There was a number of players that wanted to move onto the site or get a thing. For some unreason, the Department of in them days that was the Tourism and Leisure Department didn't go with it. I think really the stumbling block really was the cliff face. And my opinion was, and my support went to, that the government should have got in there and dealt with that issue, and then it could have moved on to a particular builder or a company.
So are we going to move on to the next few years, do you think?
Well, I hope, because
in this time, financially.
I'm disappointed. Well, we still have a growing economy. We can still stimulate the economy. I talk to people who I've never seen in my life, probably never see again, and they say to me, and I say to them, why did you want to come to the Isle of Man? It's a good government, it's a good place to live, and it's a good place to bring your kids up. And those are the pluses to those individuals that want to reside in our country.
The glass very much half full, not half empty with David Quirk. But in terms of, there's massive belt tightening measures have to be introduced after the election. Are the most needy and vulnerable in the society going to be hit, do you think?
No.
Is that inevitable?
No, I think the protectionism will be there to make sure those mechanisms are being... But there's simple things we can do, James. There might be changes in working practices. Instead of all the issues being worked in, in the daytime, some of them could be done. We could do some rotary shifts that could save us a little bit of money. Why do we clean the town in the daytime and not at night?
You've got to pay more at night, haven't you?
Well, if you have a contract of employment which says you get the same amount of pay if you're doing the nighttime job, it's just like being a shift worker in a power station.
Issues to explore there, no question. Would you cut benefits for young people out of work to make sure they'll be better off in a job?
But what I try and
that
do...
That would help, wouldn't it?
No, what I try and do... is to make sure that there are NEETs, which is not employment and education. Make sure that group of individuals is getting into a work pattern. I am really concerned, and I've raised it a few times to say that we need to bring something forward to make sure that employers, the Chamber of Commerce, will engage with these the youth of today to make sure that they're not just left on the shelf and then they get to a particular age when they just think benefits there.
Agreed, but haven't we got that already with albeit a minority of 16, 17-year-olds who are claiming benefits week in, week out and not making an effort to get a job?
But
I think we had figures earlier this year, was it Alan Bell said
that
they put on this course and 8 out of 400 people replied to this course. Eight.
Yeah. I think what will happen is it'll become an issue where you'll have to attend the course. One would hope that government could intervene to the chamber or on those businesses that are out there to say to them, how can we help your business take on a young individual to make sure that that person has got the life skills for the future? We can do it at the College of Further Education. We could do it elsewhere. But those individuals are not in that. We need to make sure that there's a mechanism or a policy there to say, well, we can help a business. Say like Manx Radio does, prime example on that. How many youths have you had in here to experience being a journalist?
Too many lately, no. Do you work well with your colleagues?
Well, in Timbuktu as a whole or Keys?
Generally, yeah.
Yes, I think I do. I think I'm... I've certainly learned not to be fed a line. I've certainly been... if I ask for help, I've been getting it. If I need information, I do get it. And I have no difficulty with the Chief Minister at all. If I've wanted to meet him or ask for a chat with him, he will. It'll be a few days' time. He'll meet me. And the Chief Minister, the current Chief Minister anyway, has instigated briefings for members in the Barule Suite. At the end of the day, those briefings are for the economy of the Isle of Man. And I protect those confidences which I'm given. I wouldn't say that for some of the other members.
Coming to the end of the programme now, one of your colleagues, of course, is the Liberal Van and Leader. Two candidates in Onken, Lib Van candidates this time around. You stood for the APG once. Does being attached, and some said at the time, it hampered your chances. Yeah. Does being attached to a party or a grouping, indeed, does it work?
I don't think it does. I've learnt that particular lesson.
Is Peter Caron elected because of what Peter Caron stands for as opposed to what Liberal Van and stand for?
It's what Peter does himself. And at the end of the day, I wonder about particular parties because years and years ago, I was a member of the Labour Party. I came out of that. There's been some other parties that's been on the island. But I believe our strengths in the Isle of Man is that the 24, or the 24 in the Keys anyway, and 33 coming together for Timbuktu, those individual views across the island spectrum give us the strength in our economy to do things.
Just finally, why should the people of Onken put a cross against your name on September the 29th?
Well, I hope that the people I've represented now for the 410 months will see what I've done. I've been always there. I talk to people day in, day out. They know they can get me. I may not always be able to deliver on certain things they wanted to do, but that is life in itself. There's not an endless pot of money. We have to earn the money first before we can spend it.
David Quirk, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.